You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out Locked On Wolves fan rank website, as well as Locked On Wolves Twitter account at Locked On T Wolves. You can also check out my Twitter account at C Molesky, MOLESKY, for all that good content. Today, talking about some Timberwolves scuttlebutt that I've been picking up around Summer League. Kind of an exit survey on Summer League, as the Timberwolves lost to the Detroit Pistons means they're officially done with Summer League. And wrapping it up, talk about maybe some takeaways, some young guys that you really like from Summer League, all that good stuff. So first of all, let's get down to the Summer League scuttlebutt. So as I have been around Summer League, got to pick up some really good tidbits around all that media, around all the front office people, agents, all that good stuff around Summer League. You hear some things, you pick up some things, you learn some stuff. And from people that I've been talking to, and people that I trust their word on some things, I've been listening to them, and here are some things about the Timberwolves that have become very apparent. First of all, the Jimmy Butler Towns thing has been blown way out of proportion and is not as big of a problem as people think it is. And if Jimmy Butler doesn't re-sign with the Timberwolves, it is more out of a very real desire to play with Kyrie on the same team as him than it is to not play with Towns. So that's the first thing. First thing is that Butler would not re-sign with the Timberwolves because of a desire to play with Kyrie, not because of a disinterest to play with Karl Anthony Towns. That story has been blown out of proportion. I know that on this show, I covered worst case scenario, what the Timberwolves might have to happen. And to be clear, that still might be a reality if he goes and chases down a team that he and Kyrie can play on together. But it's not out of a reason, out of any reasoning, because of Karl Anthony Towns. I think that's an important differentiation, because there's a difference between Jimmy Butler leaving and thinking that Towns maybe doesn't have what it takes, and Jimmy Butler leaving and knowing that Towns is still the superstar. Because if you're going to be a superstar, you not only have to play really well, but you also have to be in a spot mentally to take on the NBA schedule and take on the NBA responsibility of being a stud. And it's much more bleak if you think that Towns has problems between the ears and prepping for a season and stuff. I think that he still has stuff to learn, but I think that that was a much more prevalent issue, the way that that story was reported, the way that that story kind of blew up. Now, the other thing is that it is very real, the Wiggins stuff. It always has been. It is very real that Wiggins might very well be the locker room cancer that is keeping the Timberwolves from really reaching that next level. It's 100% real that he is not trying for all these games. It's very clear to see. You don't have to be an expert if you watch some of these Timberwolves games. It's just very apparent. It is also clear that the Tibbs regime has just started some really bad habits as far as how people are conducting themselves, how coaches are conducting themselves, the way coaches are selected, the way just front office and analytics and scouts' talent are evaluated, and how certain people are kept around and certain staff members are selected. The Tibbs era, by all accounts, has gone poorly. And the machine of the Timberwolves is just a really dismanaged and dysfunctional one. And that's become apparent because not only is that kind of the talk around the organization, but it becomes more of a shout than a conversation, because young players and people are players who are going through the combine and going through the workouts know this about the Timberwolves. And so if that's kind of your initial read on a team, just going through workouts and before you're even in the NBA, you know that the front office of the Timberwolves and the locker room situation of the Timberwolves is the one to avoid, then the Timberwolves can expect to never, at least under this head coach, never, ever get a free agent that's really going to matter and that's really going to move the needle. And in a Western Conference where the teams that are getting free agents are the teams that are doing well in every level, not only in drafting, not only in player development, but also in free agency, are the ones that are winning and the ones that are getting far in the playoffs and the ones that are winning championships. To have a team that is behind the eight ball in a lot of those categories because of the way they're run, because of the way the coaching staff is allowed to control things and allowed to make decisions is quite disturbing. And not only that, but it puts your team in a spot to where they're not going to be able to succeed. And it's unrealistic to think too or to expect too much out of them with that being the case. And especially if Butler actually really is earnest and cannot be talked out of this playing with Kyrie notion and idea, then to have a team with that reputation go into this season makes you think that they're not going to be able to make the most out of this year. Because if they need to figure out two things. They need to figure out if Butler is going to stay for sure. They need to figure out if Butler is actually planning on leaving. And then they need to make a move based off of that. And either based off of him staying or based off of him leaving. But either way, whatever they find out and learn from Jimmy Butler's camp, the real conclusion is one that I made going into Summer League, which is you can't take any bad snaps here. There's no room for error or misstep in this season. And every trade, every offseason move, and every move that you make handling these rookies and handling the youth and handling minutes and handling your business around this team, you can't have any bad snaps, because this year is going to be incredibly important and it's going to affect the next 4 years of this team. It's going to be a very impactful year as far as stretching it out to the next 3 or 4 years. And so if you want those 3 or 4 years to be really good or to be really mediocre or to be bad, it all depends, I think, on how you handle this year and how this year goes and how that is this year is a jumping off point and a projection for the next 3 or 4 years. So it's going to be interesting. I'm already on the let's get out of this Tibbs regime and let's move on. Let's get to a head coach and let's get to a new front office. The problem is that as good of an owner as he tries to be, I don't know if Glenn Taylor is going to make the necessary pivot out of this situation and out of this mess. And it's going to be a very interesting year for the Timberwolves, to say the least. All right, let's get on to some more positive basketball talk. First, we're going to take a break for some sponsors. Talking about stuff I have acquired over Summer League, some talk that I've been able to listen to and be a part of during Summer League. Now we're moving on, talking about kind of exit survey, what I thought of the Timberwolves Summer League team, some thoughts going away from their loss, and just overall what I thought of the Timberwolves in Summer League. So if you haven't seen this already, they lost to the Detroit Pistons 64-59. Again, exhibition game, not a big deal. It just means that their Summer League is out, because that's the first game they played in the bracket for like the Summer League playoff deal that happens for some reason. But anyways, So they're done with the summer league. They're done playing in Vegas. So I have three things that I took away from this Vegas team and from the young Timberwolves on this team. And it's not going to be about minutes, even though it could be, because Keita Bates, Jop, and Josh Okogie played the most summer league minutes of any two rookies. We're going to skip past that because I'm tired about talking about Tibbs teams and minutes. There's going to be plenty of time this season for that. So we're going to move past that here. So that's not going to be part of the three takeaways. So here they are. First takeaway, the defense on the Timberwolves should expect some sort of bump at some point this season. Josh Okogie is a really good defensive player. He's got a good basketball. He's got solid basketball IQ. He is a monster when he's playing on-ball defense. He's doing a great job not getting lost into anymore in transition. At least he was in summer league. Again, that's the caveat, summer league play. But he's doing a great job not getting lost in transition, and he's doing a better job making switches, pulling over when he needs to, not pulling over every single time, not being absent when there's weak side defense needed. He's doing a better job recognizing and realizing where he needs to be on a basketball court, and he's already got the skills to be a really good on-ball defender, and he's got just amazing length, speed, explosion. So that's going to help him catch up to the learning curve as well. So you got Josh Okogie in one corner and Keita Bates in the other corner. He's got tremendous length. He is really fit to be in that four spot or in a three spot if you want to go a little bigger. Kind of that 3-4 flex guy. And his length is going to help him under the basket. Now, there's plenty of opportunities where he could play stronger. I think you saw that against Brooklyn the other night. There are plenty of opportunities where he definitely could play a little stronger and a little tougher under the basket. But I think that stuff will come. I think that stuff will come with a comfort level in playing with the NBA. I really do. And right now, he's got kind of the raw talent to make up for some of that stuff. He's got length to really cover some gaps in his defensive play, and I like how he can come out and guard the perimeter as well. I think it's a very valuable asset to have. I think he's one of those guys that will recognize where he needs to be, and now it's just a matter of little technique things that he needs to clean up. But with both of those guys already showing some really nice skills in summer league, I think they're at some point they're going to be able to move the defensive needle at least a little bit. And I'm not guaranteeing that's going to be right away in like November, but at some point both these guys are going to be able to come in and they're going to be able to take advantage of small opportunities, and you're going to have to give these guys more minutes, and they're going to be able to help the defense out of the Timberwolves out. A team that desperately needed some more defensive help. They're going to be able to move the needle on the Timberwolves defense at some point, and that's going to be huge for the Timberwolves. The second thing, I think that Emile Jefferson at some point this season could prove to be a pretty solid asset. He has rebounded so well. He finished out the Vegas run with 15 rebounds. He rebounded so well. And when you see him score a low number of points like he did against the Pistons, not taking a ton of shots, still staying fairly efficient, because when he's not really feeling it, he's passing up on shots. He's giving the ball to somebody else. He's getting the ball to his other teammates. And he's sticking to what will make him still a great contributor in these games. And so when he's not scoring, he's going to the boards and he's fighting for rebounds. And he's really been aggressive on the glass. And I think that's different. I think last year when you saw Emile Jefferson kind of slip up in other parts of the game, you saw him play less aggressive in really his strong suit, where he's playing the defensive boards really well, where he's going out and getting offensive boards, being aggressive. He had 4 offensive boards in that game against Detroit. And so I like the version of Emile Jefferson that when he's not knocking down shots or when he's not being a pivotal part of the offense, is just going out and just going balls to the wall to get rebounds and to grab boards. And so I think that in that and in that kind of version of Jefferson is a player that could actually contribute something to this Timberwolves starting lineup, because somebody who is willing to fly all over the place and really commit to one area when he is failing in other areas, I think still could have some value. And somebody who is not as old as Taj Gibson, being really aggressive on the boards could be helpful, just because I don't think you want to play. I don't think you're going to get the best version of Taj again playing him plus 33 minutes a game. And so I think the contingency plan is to maybe work in Jefferson later in the season and help, if he can play like this on the glass, help relieve some minutes from Taj Gibson, if it turns out that Justin Patton isn't going to be that guy. And so it's nice to have that backup plan. And I think at some point, even if it's only like a 3-week stretch, I think you see Emile Jefferson really be, he plays as a nice stopgap for an injury or a deficiency on this Timberwolves roster at the time. So I think that's nice to have in your back pocket, Emile Jefferson. That's going crazy on the floor for rebounds and playing really aggressive on the glass and down low and playing really tough against bigger guys down low, especially while you wait for Keita Bates, maybe to wait for a little bit of a learning curve. I think it's a nice guy to have. So he's a nice guy to have around. There's plenty of good things that you saw during this summer league on this summer league team for the Timberwolves. There's a lot of good things to take away from it. The third thing is the 3-point shooter for the Timberwolves is on this team. I just don't think he showed himself yet. I think that you saw Keita Bates' job really do a great job finishing around the rim. There was some games where he really found a shot from outside, but it wasn't consistent. He's really good at picking his spots on the basketball court, and unfortunately it just didn't feel like it was the 3-point line yet. But I think there were flashes of that. I think you saw against the Toronto Raptors flashes of a 3-point shot that he could develop. I think the same can be said for Josh Okogie. I think there are flashes there. There are flashes of a 3-point shot. Again, the Toronto Raptors game, you saw flashes of him really finding a bit of a rhythm on offense. And I know that everything around the coaching staff have said and alluded, and the way he's talked about what it seems like they're expecting from him, defense, defense, defense is the name of the game for Josh Okogie. And so I don't know if it's realistic to expect a 3-point shot when it seems like by all accounts they're really wanting him to just zero in on the defensive side of his game. But at some point, I think you see him develop into a better 3-and-D kind of player instead of just a defensive kind of player. And then I've been high on him this whole time, and from what I heard at Summer League, the Timberwolves are really high on trying to work him into a position where he could eventually play on the Timberwolves roster. He's on the 2-way deal, and he's a really raw talent, and he needs to polish up a lot of things. But the Timberwolves organization, from what I heard around Summer League, seems really high on him as far as a prospect they can mold into turning into an NBA player. But Jared Terrell is somebody who definitely showed the best talent from range, I think, that you can translate into the NBA game. And there's so many ways to break him free. He's such a great catch and shooter, but also the pick and pop, he does so well off of those. That's where he made a lot of his money off of those in the college game, is pick and pop and off of the catch and shoot. Again, shot 41% from three in college. I just think that this guy, he's a really big dude who can hold his own defensively and is not going to get shoved around if you get him on a screen. He's all of a sudden in the post. I'm not saying he's some kind of ace or even better defender than Josh Okogie or anything like that, but I think he's just going to be able to hold his own defensively, and I think he can turn into a really polished 3-point shooter. And I think that's the guy. If I'm putting money on one of these guys from the summer league team coming in and helping the Timberwolves with their three-point shot at any time in the next 2 years, the guy who is the clear favorite to be the first one to kind of fix this problem in a big way and really help out the Timberwolves' three-point shooting is Jared Terrell, just because that is really his comfort level. He likes to be the outside offensive player. That's where he's going a lot of times. And you saw that in college. Is that's where he wants to play, is outside. And so if I'm putting money on one of these guys fixing the three-point shooting of the Timberwolves, or not, maybe fixing is the wrong word, but helping and giving some much-needed assistance on that perimeter game, it's going to be Terrell. And those are my three takeaways from this summer league team. I liked a lot of what I saw. And I think that the good thing is for this summer, for the guys in summer league, is not only are there some really valuable pieces that you already unearthed in summer league, but I think a lot of these guys who I've been talking about can get better and can take an extra leap. As far as other guys, there were fun players to watch. I think Stark was a fun piece to watch. I don't think there's anybody else on this team. Cook was another guy who was pretty fun to watch, but I don't think there's anybody else who can actually get past that G League level. Maybe I'll be proved wrong, but as far as the guys who I think could actually get to the Timberwolves roster, obviously Okogie-based job, I think Jefferson could play a role. I think Terrell could play a role. So those are the guys that, if I'm walking away, as far as assets the Timberwolves have from the summer league team, those are the guys. Now, I want to talk just quickly about some other guys that I'm really high on after summer league. In both these guys, I really liked after the draft, and I really liked going into the draft. And one of these guys I was actually talking about as early as March Madness that I really liked, but Kevin Knox, I know he lit it up with the slam dunks, and I don't want to read too much into a guy that was just a human highlight reel during summer league of all places, but I really do like his length and the way that he fits into the Knicks roster. I really like, and I guess you could do as kind of a 1A, 1B, I think Mitchell Robinson is going to be really great on this roster as well. And I think that both these guys playing alongside each other are going to be really fantastic just because of their length and their defensive prowess. I think that you saw Mitchell Robinson really hunt for blocks and really you already learn how to use his length against shooters, especially on the outside and perimeter shooting. And Kevin Knox, I don't want to talk about the slam dunks. I want to talk about the defense. I think that he is going to be a tenacious defender. And I think that he had a really high motor through summer league. And I think that if you can have a really high motor in exhibition games, when the games are really mattering during the regular season, I think that you can expect an even better effort from him. And I think that he is going to find another gear even that he can reach into. And I like that the Knicks are kind of building. Not only do they have a bunch of long guys now that they can line up, they have Frankie Smokes, you got Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox. At some point, you're going to have Porzingis coming back. You're starting to build a really long set of players that teams are going to have to figure out how to move the ball against. But you're also switching gears. You saw, I think, in the Carmelo and Anthony era, the Knicks really just trying to find offensive pieces to add three-point shooting and more three-point attack around Carmelo Anthony. Now you're seeing a flipping of the switch here for the Knicks. Frankie Smokes, a defensive guard. Kevin Knox, really solid defensive piece. Mitchell Robinson, a really long guy who can play great defense. I think that you're seeing them switch gears, and I think that they're going to be a better team. I think maybe it doesn't show up in the win-loss column every night, but I think just fundamental basketball, I think that you see them play a much crisper kind of NBA game. And I think that's going to matter down the road, especially when you have Porzingis working his way towards health, and the reports already that he's not going to play this next season. I think that when you're building a team for a superstar that's going to be back in 2 years, I think that these are the kind of pieces you want. You want defensive-minded pieces who can really grow on the offensive side and really have a raw upside on the offensive side that they can work towards. You're not playing for this year, but you are still going to want to build. And so even if it doesn't translate to wins, I think that you are going to see a better product on the court from the Knicks. And the other guy I really liked watching, Gary Trent Jr., I saw or I've heard from people that guys who cover the team, particularly guys like SB Nation, guys who cover the team are excited, and that team is the Blazers. They're excited for Gary Trent Jr. I claimed like 70% responsibility for the MVP talks around Jimmy Butler. I claim 85% of the Gary Trent excitement, or at least around the Blazers people. And their excitement around him, I accept 85% of the blame for that, and I take 85% of the credit for that. I like Gary Trent going into the draft, and I talked about, after that Saturday, the first Saturday I watched Gary Trent that Saturday morning, I would not stop talking about him. I talked about him on this show. I talked about him all day that Saturday with a bunch of people, including Blazers people. And I talked about him pretty much the whole weekend. And that weekend, I really liked Gary Trent. I thought that he just floated it by defenders. I thought that he looked silky on offense, trying to create his own shot. I think the knock on him, and it's fair, is that maybe he isn't as great at creating shots for other people. And that's what a lot of people would like to see from him, is him creating shots for more of his players. That said, though, as far as just a guy who can find his own shot, create, and score, he is fantastic. He moves naturally with the basketball, and it's going to be really tough to stop him because I think his court vision is probably, as far as the rookies that you saw in Summer League, he's got top five court vision amongst those guys. I think that he's going to be a really tough player to slow down, and I think that coming off the bench for the Blazers, he's going to be a really valuable piece for them, kind of filling in as a backup guard. And I know that he plays the two, and they had him playing the three a little bit in Summer League. I think that he is going to be a really solid two, but I think he could develop into kind of a 1-2 point guard, because I really do believe that he can create for his teammates. And I really think that he's going to, as he grows as an NBA player, the thing that you're going to see him really develop is his passing and his ability to not only get himself free, but then learn how to use that to get other players on his team free for a shot more consistently. And so I think that even though he's the two, and you saw him playing the three a little bit in Summer League if you were watching the Blazers, I think that he really could develop into a really nice point guard piece as well. And so I think that that's part of his enticing value too, is not only you have this great offensive piece that can create for himself and knock down shots, but I think you do have the upside where at some point in his career you have him with the potential to play three spots in a small ball lineup, where you could have him playing the one and run the offense through him. You have him playing the two and he's a great second option, or you have him playing in a small ball lineup, the three. And so that's really the highest upside for him, is that he's got the ability at some point maybe to play three positions. Love Gary Trent. So those are the two guys coming out of Summer League that I really love and still high on. All right, so that's it for Summer League talk. I probably won't be talking about it again. So I really had a fun time in Vegas. Really had a fun time with all the opportunity, getting players on the show, getting different kinds of guys, meeting guys that have been on the show before in person, getting opinions from different journalists and different front office people and stuff like that all week or all weekend into this week was a lot of fun. And so grateful for that opportunity. So grateful for you guys listening and for this show making that all possible. Now, though, we're out of Summer League. Free agency is winding down and quieting down. So we're in the lean times of basketball. We're moving down to one or two shows a week. I'm thinking either do the shows, probably going to do the shows Monday, Thursday, or maybe even as August kicks off, probably go down, bump down to just a Thursday show. But these are the lean times of basketball, and then we're going to kick it back into full gear when the regular season starts. So bear with me as we work through this time of not enough basketball in our lives. I don't like it as much as you. We'll get through it. The season is right around the corner, and in a sport that lasts about 11 or 12 months, we won't have long to wait for it. So thank you so much for listening. This was my first full season covering the Timberwolves via the Locked On Podcast Network. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed you guys as fans supporting the show. And if you guys have any off-season questions, anything you would like to know about, hit me up on Twitter. Go ahead and ask those questions. Any questions at all, as long as they're not too wild or out there, I will answer. So hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Thank you for a great NBA season, and I'm already looking forward to the next one. Thank you so much for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.